and professional I look.
Very shiny and healthy.
It's beautiful. You see the curls popping out at you?
I love it.
These products worked. It worked for everyone.
I got these amazing results.
So much so that I created a following.
We feel confident. We feel stronger.
It was the best thing that ever happened to me. And then things changed.
Look at that. Wow.
Just came out in chunks.
My hair basically started to melt away.
Burning, scarring, scabbing.
Doctors couldn't give her an answer.
It scares me.
I know without a doubt that there is something in my body that is not supposed to be there.
If your shampoo has it, and your conditioner has it, and your hairspray has it.
And these products are loaded with chemicals.
They're being absorbed into your bloodstream. There is no common denominator between all of us except for the product use.
I realized, like, you're not going crazy. You're not losing your mind. Something's going on.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Docu Talk Through, the podcast where I talk you through the best documentaries in the streamosphere. This is episode 15.
This is part 4 and final part of the 4-part docuseries streaming on HBO Max titled Not So Pretty. And this part 4 is titled Hair. This docuseries is narrated by Kiki Palmer. And again, this is the 4th and final episode. If you haven't watched the previous 3 episodes, you can pretty much watch them in any order. But it does build upon a common theme. The first part was titled Makeup. Second part was titled Nails. Third part was titled Skin. And this final part, again, is titled Hair. So let's get right into it. Okay, so we start out with this video of Bollywood, and we hear this lady talking about she's commenting on the movie she saw growing up. And again, we're watching, she's talking about these Bollywood videos, and she said she grew up watching these, and all the leading ladies in these movies had straight black hair, and that's what you see in the media. And so that's what she wanted. She wanted this straight black hair, but not everybody has straight black hair. And we see this lady on the screen. Her name is Aisha Malik. And she's absolutely, absolutely beautiful. And she was born in Pakistan in 1992. And she has this long, beautiful, curly, wavy hair. And we see her putting on makeup in front of this mirror with lights around it. You know, it's always amazing how you see these beautiful women talking about how they wanted to look more beautiful, like who they wanted to be. I remember I saw this article or this interview with Sade like years ago. When Sade was in her prime, years ago, and she was talking about how she grew up thinking she was ugly. I think that's something women grew up with. Like, I don't know, but this lady is absolutely beautiful. But growing up, she felt her hair wasn't beautiful. So no. So she was born in Pakistan, but she moved to Alaska in 1992. Wow, that must have been a trip, right? So she's saying that of course she didn't look like anybody around her. Pakistan, moving Pakistan to Alaska? Yeah, she don't look like anybody around her. So she said growing up, even her parents didn't like curly hair. What the fuck? And it wasn't part of the culture they grew up in. So we see this picture of Aisha where her family looks like maybe a brother, a sister, and her two parents, mom and dad. And she's the only one with curly hair. And by far, she's the most beautiful out of the bunch. Not just because of her curly hair, just because she just is. I mean, she has a handsome family. But she's by far the star as far as looks in this family. I mean, they're all, like I said, they're all handsome. But she's by far the most stunning. She looks like the star of the family. And it could be because she looks different. Her hair is curly and she looks like a celebrity posing with fans. If that makes sense to you. But anyway, so we see this lady on screen and she's vlogging or something. She's saying, hey, girlfriends. And she has like this curly fro. She has hair like my middle daughter. So we see her again and now it's a short curly fro. And she's saying that her relationship with her hair when she was little was the most defining relationship of her entire life. And we see her as a baby. Well, not a baby. We see her as a kid and she's sitting with somebody else. And she's maybe Puerto Rican or something. And she has the Puerto Rican curly fro. And she's saying that in the kid she's sitting next to, which may be a sibling or a cousin or something, has straight hair. And she's saying that no one else in her family had curly hair. So, of course, she was probably ostracized for that. So, and her name is Stephanie Miro. And she's a hairstylist in Orlando, Florida, who specializes in curly hair. So, around 8 years old, this is what Stephanie's saying. She had to become aware of her hair because other people became aware of it. And people started treating her differently, not liking it, making fun of it just because of her hair. And that was something she didn't really have any control of. And it crushed her self-esteem. So now we go to Baltimore, Maryland. And we hear this woman, her name is Kia, artistically Nail. It must be her stage name. And she's a 27-year-old stylist. No, she's been a stylist for 27 years. And she's saying for her growing up, she always thought that good hair meant it had to be straight hair and blonde if she was lucky. If you were lucky, like blonde like the Barbie dolls.
This is Kia Neal, a renowned hair specialist who leads a training program in Baltimore, Maryland, teaching stylists how to work on different hair textures.
I remember thinking that I had ugly hair for a very long time. There was never a point where someone said, oh, your hair is beautiful and this is a part of you.
There is this Eurocentric standard of beauty that has really penetrated all racial groups, that straight hair is more desirable. And so it's been really hard for Black and brown women to embrace their natural look.
When Black people were brought to this country, the very first thing white people did was shave Black people's heads. That was their way of erasing their culture, their connection, and their understanding of who they were as a people.
It is the impact that colonialism has had on communities of color.
I don't think we knew there was a forced standard of beauty. We just thought it was a normal mindset.
So we sometimes don't realize that things we do for beauty, for daily hair maintenance or whatever, some of it is cultural, but a lot of that cultural stuff that we think is cultural, especially as Black people, is inherent from what has been ingrained in us from colonization. Because I'm thinking about it myself, you would think straightening your hair, like as Black people, straightening hair, I never questioned why Black women did that. Especially growing up in the era I grew up in and in the environment and I grew up in Jackson, Mississippi. So even the stuff we were doing, we probably were still doing long past, people in the North were doing. A hot comb on the stove, getting it hot and then straightening your hair. I remember seeing girls come to school with burn marks on their kitchen, kitchen meaning the back of the neck, burn marks or even on the forehead. Burn marks from that hot comb on the stove before even electric straighteners, electric pressing irons. So I just thought I never questioned why. And now I'm learning about this was because of colonization. This was the first time that I ever heard that one of the first things that that was done to slaves when they came to, quote, the New World was getting their hair shaved. I never knew that. That's something I never knew. All right. So we see Aisha Malik again, and she's a former hair influencer. And remember, Aisha Malik is the lady from Pakistan who moved to Alaska. And we hear her talking about that she straightened her hair every single day until the age of 14. And then
one day I was to school with wet hair and my best friend was at her locker. She's blonde, straight hair. And she said, Aisha, your hair looks so beautiful. And I needed that validation from her because to me, she was the standard of beauty. I kept it curly since then.
And for you, for anyone who doesn't know, when people with naturally curly hair, when their hair gets wet, it goes curly no matter what. It just goes curly or even in humid weather, it goes curly. And we see this picture of Aisha as a teen, and she's with these cornucopia of girls. One girl, there's one Black girl with braids. There's one Asian girl. There's one white girl with blonde hair. And there's another, like, Hispanic girl. So she has a whole melting pot of friends. And then we see Aisha in the middle. And I'm guessing this is the blonde chick that said her hair was beautiful. But yeah, she has blonde straight hair, and she said her hair was beautiful. So while Aisha has been straightening her hair, thinking she's trying to transform herself, her hair, into what she thinks is beautiful, she has this blonde-haired, straight-haired white girl telling her that her hair is beautiful. And I can only assume that this white girl probably was like, man, I wish my hair could be like that. It wasn't until this blonde-haired white girl told Aisha that her hair was beautiful till she realized her hair was beautiful. Sometimes it does take an outsider to say that to someone before they can believe it. Because when it's an insider and a family member, someone who truly loves and care and telling them the truth, it's like it falls on deaf ears. But when an outsider says it, then all of a sudden, oh, my hair is beautiful. When your dad been telling you that shit for since you were born. So she's saying that she needed that validation from this chick that fits her Eurocentric idea of beauty. This is the validation she needs before she could realize that she was beautiful. And we see flashes of images of her throughout the years. We see her with the straight hair, and we see her transitioning to where she started to wear it curly. And so she said she remember looking in the mirror in April 2017, and she said, this is the best hair day she's ever had in her life. She's going to take a selfie. She tuck it, she put it on Instagram, and she absolutely like a damn model or something, man. It's unfortunate that she needed that validation from the person that she was trying to fit the standard of beauty of. She needed validation to say, no, your hair's beautiful, before she can realize. And then she said once she uploaded that selfie, it went viral. We see her Instagram, and we see, you know, there's people hating on her, saying her hair is fake. She's using box braids. Her curls look like curling iron curls. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. So she grabbed the camera because people were thinking she was lying about her hair. So she grabbed the camera, started recording her hair from wet to dry. And that video went viral. And we see the actual video. And she's showing the product she's using. She's showing what she's doing. I guess the product she's using is called Diva Curl. As a result of her showing her routine, showing how she got her hair so curly, and using that product, this company, Diva Curl, which I never heard of, reached out to her and started sending her free products. So now we hear Keke Palmer talking about Diva Curl.
Diva Curl was introduced in 1994 when straight hair was dominant and curly hair was considered second class. And they began advertising by encouraging viewers to celebrate their curls.
With Diva, curly hair is not a trend. It's a lifestyle.
Okay, let's hold up before we take you down this Diva Curl rabbit hole. There are thousands of hair products sold in the U.S., but we chose to focus on just one product to demonstrate how the industry works. So consider this a cautionary tale.
So we hear Kia Neal. Remember at the beginning, she's the founder of the hairstyle and color culture. She's the one that was holding the class and the training on how to deal with different textures of hair. So she had Diva Curl in her salon, and they made the curly hair, the curly girl community popular, according to Kia Neal. They put up advertising saying curly hair was beautiful. So it's sort of changing the standard of what people think beauty is. And we see all these advertisements about Diva Curl. I'm thinking we're going to find out that Diva Curl is fucking killing people with whatever's in this product. That's what I'm thinking. I think that's what this is building up to. We hear Miro talking about she learned out about the Diva Curl products, and she changed all her Instagram. She changed all her Instagram handles to the curl ninja. And we see her on like a post holding up nothing but Diva Curl products. She's totally going all curly. And she said the floodgates opened and the curly girls came running. And she specialized in curly hair. So she started posting lots of curly hair pictures on social media. Again, she's every one of these posts they show her in, she has a beautiful curly fro and she's holding up Diva Curl products. So this is what Diva Curl do. They find people, they find influencers or not even influencers, just people that are posting stuff about their curly hair. And so Diva Curl finds these people and they send them free product. And these people are pretty much advertising for free. So Diva Curl sending them products. They are already doing social media. So of course they're going to talk about this shit that they got for free. And it's free advertisement for Diva Curl. And we see all these different social media influencers, all these social media glam girls talking about Diva Curl. And it's all races. It's like, I mean, they're all brown. They're all black and brown. But we see them. We see just different social media posts showing tutorials on how they got this curly hair. And it's all based around these Diva Curl products. See, we see Felicia Jones, and she is in hair hair and beauty influencer, and we see her spraying this Diva Curl product in her hair. And Diva Curl reached out to her and asked her to sign a year-long contract. And they told her that they wanted her to be on one of her boxes. So now we see these Diva Curl packaging. We see this social media influencer on the packaging. And so I guess Aisha was doing the same thing. She was doing something hair related. She was traveling. She was doing videos. And we see all these different advertising shots of both these influencers in these Diva Curl product shots. And we see her even interviewing different people.
When you look good, you feel good. And when you feel good, you do good. In my mind, I thought it was 100% because of this brand.
Almost overnight, they went from thousands of followers to hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram. Their YouTube hair tutorial videos got millions of hits, and their flawless hair convinced thousands of people to trust their endorsement of Diva Curl.
I received about a dozen DMs throughout the year like, hey, I know you love Diva Curl and I've been using it because of you, but this is what's going on with my situation.
That's when the messages started to come. People asking me about the products. Did you have an adverse reaction?
I just thought it was a random few. I'm like, something's going on with your body.
I thought maybe it's just somebody who doesn't understand the products.
I told the brand that I'd been getting so many messages and they were like, have them reach out to us.
And then one day, my hair started coming out in clumps.
So these same influencers who were promoting this Diva Curl stuff, in addition to some of their fans, some of the people that's following them on social media, having issues with different symptoms resulting from the use of this product, these influencers themselves started to have the same symptoms. And we see Aisha, and she's counting bags of hair that she has been collecting that's been falling out. And each one of these bags associate to a day that she collected the hair that was falling out. And these are significant clumps or bags of hair. And so we see Neil, she's saying the same thing. She started to get like, her hair was just, it wasn't the same. The texture was changing. It started getting brittle, and she describes it as like melting cheese. So she stopped using the product immediately. Which I'm thinking the only way you would know that is this product is, well, I guess in addition to messages and clients telling you, you know, they've been having product, you had to be using either exclusively this product or the majority of this product. Otherwise, how would you know? So now we see Miro with bags of hair, and she's with a man, and they have this tool, and they are, see, what is this? Oh, it's like a magnifying camera, almost what a plumber would use, but different. So it's like a camera attached to a screen, and you can it's pretty much like this microscopic camera that you can. She's placing the camera on these hair follicles to get like a zoomed in view on this screen that they're looking at. And they're sort of trying to figure out what's going on. So they're looking at these hair follicles and they're describing it as looking bumpy. And so she's comparing it to, okay, so this guy's name's Dennis. So this is, his name is Dennis, and this is Stephanie's husband. So they're comparing, and he has curly hair also. And they're comparing the hair, her hair to his hair, using this magnification tool or whatever it is. And she's looking at it and showing that how his hair looks so healthy and everything, and hers just doesn't. So she's going to give us a little background of her and her husband. So we're looking at that marriage picture, and in her marriage picture, her hair is not curly. And matter of fact, you wouldn't even think this is the same person. You wouldn't even think this is the same lady. She looks starkly different than what she is, than the way she looked in this documentary. I mean, she's beautiful. I'm just saying, like, you wouldn't think this is the same woman. And actually, you wouldn't even know he's the same person because his hair is shorter. In this documentary, he has a little bit past the ear, like beautiful curly hair. And in their wedding pictures, he has like a curly, almost like, you know, fade sort of haircut. So she said after she married her husband, she was going to grow her hair out and only use Diva Curl. And she said that only went about a few months. So, and then we hear her husband, he's saying like, we started to see her, a lot of her hair on the floor. And one day she got really close to the mirror and you can see sort of like bald spots, because it would be, if she didn't like part her hair, you wouldn't be able to see it because she just has, her hair is pretty thick. So she's also talking about, she had some breakouts, some allergic reactions in her, and we see pictures of her hands where it looks like her hands has been scalded with like hot water or something, like from the middle of the back of her hand all the way to her fingertips, almost like if she dipped that part of her hands into some sort of dye or something. And they're just all rashy. And she's also explaining, like, she started to get these same symptoms on her chest. Her ears would ring. So these are some pretty substantial symptoms. And she's saying, like, her ears would, she would get these loud sounding ringing in her ear, like if she was underwater. And so she went to get tested. She went to the doctor and they couldn't figure out what was going on. But this wasn't only happening to Stephanie. This was happening to Aisha also. She was having female issues with her cycle, only lasted like a day. And she had delayed speech, memory loss. She has the same ringing ear situation that Stephanie was having. We hear her husband. His name is Aaron Cox. We hear her husband and he's saying like she was just a giant ball of depression. And so she started going to the doctor and pretty much she started doing the same thing that Stephanie was doing. And they couldn't figure out what was going on. So she was having such problems with her hearing that she actually got prescribed hearing aids to help regulate the sound in her ears and to minimize the hearing loss. So we hear her husband asking her, are you going to be wearing these hearing aids for the rest of your life? And she's like, yeah. And so they're just having this conversation, this kind of intimate conversation on the couch. And she's getting real emotional saying like, you know, when she got the hearing aids, that was the first time in 11 months that she actually didn't hear the ringing in her ears. And it just felt so good. So she stopped endorsing Diva Curl. She got off the internet. She got off social media. She stopped endorsing Diva Curl. And we see her with YouTube, you get a gold, silver, you get a. Like that badge or whatever, the play button. Yeah, the play button. But she said she just went dark online. And we see her sort of packing up the play button award. And she just went dark online. So now we're back to this other influencer. And this is Felicia. She's the hair and beauty influencer. And so she was like one specific time in 2018, she woke up with hives all over her face. She had hives on her neck, her ears. And we see pictures of this. And it looks like if you've ever had a allergic reaction to stuff, to anything, where your skin gets like real, real fine bumps and sort of like these red bumps. I've had this before where you just break out in hives. We see all these hives on her face. We see them behind her ear, going down her neck. And she's saying like anywhere she touched, she had hives. So she started to realize that these products she'd been loving and endorsing is causing all these symptoms. And also what people have been sending her online, her followers, her subscribers, it's been true. Well, at first she thought it was just something they weren't doing right or something. So now she realized she's having those same symptoms and it hit her like a brick. We see her parting her hair and we see, yeah, like her hair is falling out. She has like this big trench of bald spot of like hair missing, like on the top of her head. And she's talking about how like she was honestly saddened at the fact that she had built all this trust with these people who were following her, subscribing to her, supporting her as she is promoting this Diva Curl. And now it's like she feel like she's betraying them. We see her at this, I don't know if it's like some sort of event or something, but there's this long line of people waiting to get in somewhere. Yeah, so she has this big fan base. And now not only is she suffering from the use of this product, her fans are. All the people that she told to use this product, all the people that she put her seal of approval on for this product, and they were using it based off her, and now they're being let down. And so she said she just felt the shame, and she felt she's crying. She's getting real emotional. She's just talking about she just felt so ashamed, and she just wanted to sit down and just tell everybody that she made a mistake. She's to the point to where she actually turns from the camera, and they have to stop the interview with her. So Now we see we're back to Stephanie. And so she's with the client named Mia. So she's saying like Mia was impacted by the Diva Curl products. And we are seeing Stephanie recording Mia sitting down in her studio, and she's looking at her hair, and she's like talking about how this product has affected her client's hair. And we hear her talking about she kept getting clients who said they had, you know, all the symptoms she had, damaged hair, hair loss. So she created this Facebook group called Hair Damage and Hair Loss from Diva Curl, and with a subtext of you're not crazy or alone. So it's sort of like an online support group for people who've been affected by this Diva Curl. So it started to grow, and we see the Facebook page, we see the group numbers, and we just see it ramping up, 733, 1,415 members, and we just see just still growing. Wow. And like an overwhelming amount of people were having the same story, same symptoms with the use of this product. And we see this lady, Maddie Boveri, and she's vlogging saying that she was noticing the amount of hair loss in the shower. And we see this other lady, Brandis Haar, she's saying the same thing. She was seeing clumps of hair, handfuls of hair coming out. We see this lady, Shireen Ali, she's saying the same thing. Her hair was falling out in clumps. And just person after person, all these ladies are just vlogging about their symptoms, about their hair loss, about their inflammation of the scalp, hives on the back of their neck, eczema-type symptoms, rashes on their hand, just all the same symptoms we saw the influencers go through. All of these users of this product were going through the same thing. We see this split screen, split into threes of these women showing clumps of hair, showing bald spots, giving a visual to all these symptoms that they're talking about. We hear Kiki Palmer talking about.
Many of the symptoms these women experienced can be linked to ingredients in some of their Diva Curl products, which have chemical compounds that slowly release formaldehyde.
I remember something coming out about this years ago. Not particularly Diva Curl, but about formaldehyde. And it was related to an autopsy that was done on this, I want to say this black lady. She passed away. And they did an autopsy, and they showed how her brain was just had all this formaldehyde. And it was from, I can't remember exactly what product, but I remember it. And this was years and years ago. So now we see this Dr. Marianne McCredis Sina, and she's the assistant professor of dermatology at the Harvard Medical School.
I can tell you, as a person who sees 50 new hair loss patients per month, people who use formaldehyde-releasing products can have significant damage to their hair and to the way their hair grows in.
So we see Neil again. She's saying she don't believe a group of people could all have the same exact circumstances and it not be any validity to it. So we've heard this from the previous three episodes that there is really no regulation of these beauty products. So there's no guidelines for them, for these manufacturers to test for safety before these products are sold. No guidelines, no regulations, nothing. Nobody cares until someone's affected, until people start complaining about it, before any awareness will be made to how unsafe, you know, whatever chemical is in whatever product. And so we hear this guy, Alec Bates, and he's a former chemist for L'Oreal, and that's what he's talking about. It's almost like when software companies release a unstable version of a software or a game or whatever and see what happens. Matter of fact, that's actually a particular, I can't remember what it's called, but that's a particular strategy of releasing products to the market. It saves time and money because you just put it out there and you let the consumer figure out what's wrong with it and then you work on it. So that's what this guy is saying. Like, they release this stuff to the market and then wait for these Facebook groups to start up. These people start talking about it. And that's how they find out about the problems. This is a former chemist of L'Oreal. He's opening up to this. Like, yeah, this is what we do. We put that shit out there. We harm people. And then once we see what's harming them, then we can work on it. Otherwise, it's so expensive for them. And this is me putting this on. Why else would they do that? It's because it's more cost effective for them to do that than to, it's faster, you know, faster product to market than to try to go through tests of all these chemicals in their products, because it's all about that you know, like in last episode, prophets before people. So Stephanie's Facebook group, it grew to over 3,000 members with more and more women reporting serious symptoms. And we see Stephanie saying that she feel, responsible for a lot of this because she was promoting this stuff. And so Stephanie reached out to the FDA to let them know about the problems with Diva Curl. And we see her on the phone calling around and stuff. And then after like giving a run around and after a bunch of failed attempts, she finally got a hold of someone at the FDA. And they told her that she was misusing the emergency line. So when she finally got through to them, they didn't want to help her. They told her, hey, this line is not for this. This is not an emergency. People getting hives and hair falling out and until someone dies, this is not an emergency. We hear Stephanie again. She's really upset and she's crying. She's teary. And she's saying like she's done so much research and she's scared at this point. Like she's just feeling overwhelmed. And she probably because the lack of power you have over how these people can just put stuff out there and have no responsibility for how their products affect people. So during some investigations for this documentary, the filmmakers discovered that the FDA had already been getting reports about this Diva Curl product. So it wasn't nothing new to them. They had already been getting complaints, reports of severe hair damage, convulsions, migraines, menstruation problems, and skin ulcers. So the FDA already been getting complaints about this product, and they did almost nothing. I've learned in this docuseries that the FDA they really don't protect us. So, you know, if you learn nothing else from listening to this four-part docuseries, that was one of the biggest revelations as far as you a big wake-up call. You thought these were the people that are supposed to have your back, and they don't. We hear Janet Neudelman. Remember, she's the senior director of program and policy for the breast cancer prevention partners. She's reiterating that the FDA doesn't have any mandatory recall authority. And again, we learned that back on one of the previous episodes where they can just ask, the FDA can ask. And I thought the FDA had the power to make a company recall a product, but they don't. You probably better like creating these Facebook groups and stuff like that and just being really, really vocal on social media and stuff. That's probably going to be the best way to get stuff like this handled, because that's going to start to get into the social consciousness and hurt the bottom line, because that's what it's all about. When you stop using these products on a mass scale and start hurting these companies' bottom line, start hurting these profits, that's when shit gets handled. And so even if the FDA asked the company to, hey, we getting all these different complaints about all these horrible symptoms people have, so would you mind recalling your product and sort of doing some more tests and stuff like that and see what's going on? The company can say, hey, how about you just fuck off, kick bricks, and don't mess with my money. That's what the company can say. They don't have to do anything. They don't even have to respond to the FDA. And we see this Scott Faber. He's a senior VP of government affairs for environmental working groups. And he's saying
almost every chemical you can imagine, whether it's industrial chemicals or the chemicals we spray on your food, have been regulated either by FDA or EPA, except for the chemicals we use in everyday personal care products, the ones we rub on our bodies every day.
Right now, we have a system in place where, since you don't have to show that something is safe before you sell it, you are disincentivized to go out there and say, does my chemical maybe cause or trigger cancer or reproductive toxicity? Why would you go find that information out if you don't have to by law?
I had a message, an email from someone from ABC News, and they were like, we caught wind of what's going on with Diva Curl. We want to interview you for the news today.
Later on the same day, ABC News aired their report.
A popular hair product that is sold in stores and used in salons across the country.
Yeah, many think that Diva Curl is making their hair fall out.
And they reported on the harm that Stephanie and many of her clients experienced.
Mero says she went from perfect curls to wiry, brittle hair. That's when she started this Facebook group where thousands of men and women are now sharing similar stories.
So this is how you put a microscope on a company. You get your stuff on the news. You get your complaints on the news. So we see Felicia Jones. She's talking about that someone from Diva Curl, represented from Diva Curl, flew out to her and was like, hey, how can we help? How can we make this right? How can we get you to peddle our products again? And she was just like, figure out what's wrong. Like, figure out what is your product? What's in your product that's causing all these symptoms? But of course, like these corporations do, the PR engine, you know, public relations, get out there and start dispelling all of these claims of what's going on. And so they launched this campaign showing that their products are safe. They do not cause breakage or hair loss and are proven to be non-irritating. This is a statement that's in one of their PR publications. And so what they did was, no surprise, they blamed the symptoms that these customers were having on the customers. We see this factoid about something called mechanical damage. And mechanical damage is caused by friction or improper handling. And we see this sort of animation showing this strand of hair being manipulated with this hairbrush and showing how it damages the hair. So I guess they're saying like, hey, if you don't brush your hair right, is shit's going to fall out? Like, what? I don't understand what this is. So I guess mechanical damage mean it wasn't caused by this product, but the way the consumer manipulated their hair or whatever tools they use on their hair outside of this product. And so also Diva Curl claimed that they did extensive safety testing. We see this page from the Diva Curl website and with I guess all these facts of what they tested, and pretty much they're just blaming the consumer. They're saying, no, we tested our stuff. It's your fault. But they never say what they tested. They just say, we did tests. Our shit is dope. It's good. You're brushing your hair wrong. That's why you're getting hives and your shit's falling out. But they never say exactly what tests were done or what they tested or what the actual results were. Like, no factual scientific stats on what they did. They just said, no, we tested it. It's fine. And we see this lady. Of course, they use a black lady with curly hair or brown lady with curly hair. Her name is Vita Latimer, and she's the senior colorist of Diva Chan Salon and Diva Curl Academy educator. And she's saying,
because our products do not penetrate the scalp and affect the hair bulb, they therefore cannot cause hair loss.
The scalp is one of the most absorbent parts of the body.
The hair follicle openings are a natural entry point into the skin.
When you are putting those types of chemicals on your scalp, they're being absorbed into your bloodstream and they affect your health.
Studies show that the chemicals we put on our scalp do show up in our blood, breast milk, and urine.
And we see this animation showing how like when you put products on your hair follicles is a natural entry point for your skin. So it shows like you put the product on your hair, the product follows your hair follicle down into your scalp, down into your skin, down into your body. And we see how we see the path that these chemicals that you put topically on your hair, how they end up entering your body. So in 2020, a year and a half after the reports of harm started pouring in about Diva Curl, they suddenly announced that they had done a complete reformulation of their product. Why would they reformulate their product if it's safe? Of many of their products. So we hear this narration of this guy. He's saying,
as is common in the hair care industry, we periodically make minor ingredient updates to some of our products.
So we go back to Felicia Jones. So Felicia Jones is like, they really didn't address the issue. And they're just telling them, hey, everything is great. We updated some product. We updated some stuff. Just, you know, even though we tested the last formulation, it was safe. But we just, you know, we did some improvements and everything good. It's not our products. But, you know, we changed them anyway. Yeah, so that's like, it's like a cover-up. All right, so now let's look at the big picture of this whole thing. So Diva Curl isn't the only hair care product that has harmed consumers. The cosmetic industry, as we learned from these previous episodes of this docuseries, the cosmetic and beauty industry as a whole has a long history of selling harmful hair care products and harmful skin products, harmful beauty products. And it's not like this has been hidden. This is stuff that's been in the news. But I'm going to say, because how quick we forget, it's just as soon as something else happened, we forget. Like, it just move on. You know, we just move on to something else.
Women across the country say a brand of hair care products that claim to make hair thicker, younger looking, and fuller can actually do just the opposite.
What happened to hair care brand under fire? Hundreds of women have filed a lawsuit against the makers of Suave.
New study is raising concerns over the use of permanent hair dye and straightening products.
200 women in 40 states who claim that the Wen brand of cleansing conditioner has destroyed their hair.
Popular men's cosmetic products are raising concerns this morning over a potentially harmful ingredient.
A chemical found in hundreds of popular shampoos is now being linked to cancer.
But what's really messed up? All these products are still on the market, and most of them are marketed to Black women, who are more likely to be harmed by toxic personal care products than any other demographic. And one of the most dangerous products, hair relaxers, specifically advertises to Black women.
And we hear Neil saying, yeah, relaxer changes the bond and the makeup of your hair almost permanently. And Black women have been using relaxers since like the early 1900s. And we see Neil in her salon. She's meeting with a client. And, you know, women got start using their relaxer and men to make their hair look more European. So we hear Neil ask her client, how long, and this is, she's probably in her 30s, late 30s, early 40s. And she asked her, how long have you been using relaxers? She said, since she was 10 years old. And so I guess when she consult with her clients, when they come in, one of the questions they ask them is, how would they be received at work? And they all, you know, some of the things they respond with is they can be fired, they can be demoted if their hair doesn't fit the company's standards. And we hear Marsha Isabella Chaudhry, we saw her in previous episodes, and she's like, there's been cases where, because, you know, a girl, and this, I remember seeing some of this stuff in the news. You know, a girl has locks or braids or whatever, and they get fired for that. We hear Jeanette Robinson Flint. She's the executive director of Black Women for Wellness. And she's saying she knew many women who will wear wigs to their job interviews. And we see, as she's talking about this, we see this Black lady, she's putting on a straight hair wig. And they do that to boost their chances of getting the job. That is crazy. I've never heard this. So women, Black women, go to job interviews wearing wigs, these straight hair wigs, over their natural hair so they can get the job? So wouldn't you have to keep wearing the wig every day to work? What? And it's because people view natural curly, afro, locks, twists, natural hair, anything that's not straight and Caucasian is not deemed presentable, which is so much bullshit. It's so hard to fathom this, but we know it's so true. It really irks me, man. It really irks me. And they would fire you saying that you're out of dress code. Matter of fact, I know why I remember this story. The military, recently went through something like this, and I think they reversed their old policy. Now Black women can wear their hair natural. They can wear braids and dreadlocks and stuff in the military. Now, I remember when I was in the military, women had to wear their hair in a ponytail above their ear. I can't remember the exact standards, but I knew men, we had specific stuff too. You couldn't go, I mean, everybody know the military cut, the military buzz cut. But I remember, like, after I got out, I was like, I never thought about the shit Black women had to go through in the, you know, being in the military. And there was something within the last probably, I say, 5 years, they came out where they said, yeah, they can wear their hair natural. I'm pretty sure they have some standards on it, but they can wear braids, they can wear their hair natural, what have you. So we hear Felicia Jones saying that she had a job and she actually was told that she couldn't wear her hair in its natural state in a ponytail anymore because it looked nappy. And Felicia Jones, if she's Black, she's biracial, or she's like poor. I want to say she's like Latinx. So when I say Black women, I mean brown and Black women. I'm just using Black women in, you know, as general, but I'm talking about anyone with anybody other than Caucasian. How about that? And nappy, like, I want to know, do white people use the word nappy? I'm going to ask my wife. I'm like, did you grow up using the word nappy? I think that's a term. Like, if you say someone has nappy hair, who are you talking about? You're not talking about anyone Caucasian. So we hear this guy, David Steinman, again. He's the consumer health activist. an author. He's talking about how, yeah, the beauty industry preys on women in general as a whole, period. But it's especially venal. I gotta look up what the fuck venal mean, because I never heard that word. Hey, Google, what does venal mean?
Here's the definition of venal: showing we're motivated by susceptibility to bribery.
Okay. Oh, corrupt, corruptible, dishonest. Okay. I guess he's saying they're especially heinous towards Black women.
Because they're taking advantage of their need for specialized products. These products just become more and more dangerous with prolonged use.
And so the common chemical in most hair straightening products is formaldehyde. And that's a known human carcinogen, meaning it's cancerous, causing cancer. So women who regularly relax their hair face a 30% increased risk of breast cancer. And I guess Black women has more aggressive types of cancer, which I didn't know. And also Black women has the highest infant mortality rate. So Black women, stop using this shit, man. Stop trying to make your hair look other than, I guess you still can do it, but use natural, use juices and berries. I guess, you know, I guess things are changing because more and more women are using are going natural. Like I talked to you guys earlier in this episode, how I was so happy that my, matter of fact, it was 1 year they all sort of went natural at the same time. And it was right around school picture time. And I remember sending those pictures to my mom back in Mississippi. And she was like, oh, they all went natural. I was like, yep. So I guess the natural hair movement started about 10 to 12 years ago and became visible in salons, to where even salons started to see a lowering use of these hair relaxers. So I guess curly hair doesn't necessarily mean natural hair. And we hear Aisha talking about that she considered herself a curly hair influencer, not a natural hair influencer, because she don't go through the same exact things as Black women. So she can't say natural hair. She can't be on that movement. She has to, you know, even though her hair is naturally curly, she's not saying natural hair. She's saying curly hair. This shit is getting complicated. So the curly hair movement is very inclusive. Like, anyone with curly hair, all races. If you got curly hair, you're part of that movement. And we see a bunch of different ethnicities of women with curly hair. We see these white women, these brown women, these Black women, and they just wearing their hair naturally curly.
The natural hair movement is Black. Black women that are reaching deeper into their connection with their culture, their hair, and our history.
You see Viola Davis. If you know who don't know who Viola Davis is, I don't know where you've been. But she's on Anderson Live. What's that, Anderson Cooper Live?
What I felt like was every time I put on a wig that I was apologizing for who I was. And I felt like I didn't want to do that anymore.
And we see her hair. I rarely see her hair like this. It's in its natural state. She don't have on a wig. It's just her natural little puffy curly hair. And she has dyed like red. But matter of fact, there's a scene in How to Get Away with Murder. Viola Davis started that show, to where, you know, she's at her class because she's a law professor in addition to being a lawyer. I can't remember if it's the first episode or a second episode, but there's one scene where she goes home and she starts taking off her eyelashes, her wig, and I remember it being a real dramatic shock. So, I mean, you see her with her straight hair, you see her in the heels and stuff while she's at work, while she's in the class teaching, and you never really think of it. You don't think of it. You just said, oh man, she got us, she's looking good, you know. And you don't think about, oh, that's a wig. I'm a guy, so my wife always point this stuff out to me. Like, I never can spot wigs. I guess I just don't pay attention. But she goes home and she takes off her wig. And it's like this stark contrast. She's still the same beautiful person, but when she took off that wig, it was just such a stark contrast from the way she looked before. So that's what she's talking about. So I wonder if that was written into that script, because she's actually talking about how she felt like, you know, she just wanted to stop wearing this goddamn wig. She didn't want to have to pretend anymore.
I'm tired of fighting in the world about my hair. I'm tired of spending money and time in the salon to keep up this facade.
I'm tired of giving someone else the privilege and the right to tell me how I should feel about myself. You know, they don't have that authority anymore.
And so as these movements continue with women embracing their natural hair, there's been an influx of products geared toward this natural movement for women to use on their hair. You know, healthy, safer, natural products. So, and with that, you know, what Diva Curl did, it was a temporary thing. It actually, in the long run, made these women's hair worse off. So all these women got together and they filed a class action lawsuit against Diva Curl. So Aisha reached out to Amy Davis. She's a Dallas-based attorney who was filing a mass action lawsuit. I mean, class action lawsuit against Diva Curl. And we see Amy Davis on this Zoom talk. And she's just talking about, she's sorry to hear that you suffered. And I'm thinking this is Aisha that she's talking. Yeah, she's talking to Aisha on this Zoom call or Skype or whatever. And she's giving her experiences. And this attorney, she's saying she's been on the phone with literally hundreds of mostly women, but some men, and she know what's going on. She know how, like, when you lose your hair, it's psychologically devastating. And she seemed really sympathetic too. She seemed really sympathetic. And we see Aisha just getting emotional that, you know, finally somebody's listening to her and somebody's going to fight for her and serve some kind of justice, or at a minimum, get these products taken off the shelves so it doesn't happen to anybody else. And Amy just says, like, you know, this is not going to be a fast process. This is going to take years. This is a marathon, not a sprint. Now Aisha reached out to Stephanie. We see them on the Zoom call, and she's like explaining to Stephanie how she went silent online, and she thought, you know, she wasn't ignoring people, but she was just trying to get herself together. And it wasn't just her that she shut down with. She shut down with every single person. And we hear Stephanie saying, "No, I get it. I completely understand." Remember, While Aisha went dark, Stephanie created a Facebook group. She went hard online. And Stephanie's saying, like, you know, she knew if she had the influence to get people to use this product, that same influence can get the word out about how these products are damaging the user, and also how they can get the user not to use this product. So the same influence that got people to use this product, that same influence can get people to stop using these products. And Aisha, she was just reluctant to do that. She was reluctant because she was ashamed. She was embarrassed. She was reluctant to, after promoting this product, now to go out and say, "Hey, don't use this product." And I totally get that. But after she started to think about, like, what if she don't and people still use this and think she's still behind this product? That's even worse than going dark. So we see her creating this video.
This video is coming at you very late. I wish I made this video a year ago, but I was in disbelief. I was lying to myself. Therefore, I was lying to all of you. If you've bought Diva Curl products because of me, I am sorry. And if you're currently using these products, stop immediately. Please join this Facebook group. There's over 4,000 people in this group. I'm going to post the link below. Click on it and share your Diva Curl story with them.
When she made that post, I know she was telling her story, but she was telling everyone's story.
When she did send me the thumbnail of the video, I remember I was driving to the salon for work. I think it was in January. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, it's gonna blow up."
And I guess that video went viral. Let me see, it actually shows the count. So this video had 2.2 million views. And so we see other people, or other influencers, who are recommending these products, creating videos, just like, it seems like Aisha opened the floodgates of, "Hey man, just come, you gotta be vocal. You gotta get out there and talk about it. Even if you push these products, it's okay to say I was wrong. It's okay to say I was sorry. And let's get people to stop using these products." And we see these women going through sort of the same emotions that Aisha was going through, just feeling, just being real apologetic.
"We need to talk.
Do I have a video for you today?"
My good friend, girlfriend, Aisha,
posted her now viral video.
I was shocked. I was angry. I was confused.
Obviously, there is something going on.
Pearl Ninja is the one that kind of got this ball rolling.
Her video encouraged other people to step forward and share their experience as well.
I have recommended these products for so long,
and I didn't know that there were other people suffering in silence.
I will no longer be using any of them.
With Aisha's voice amplifying Stephanie's message, the Facebook group grew to almost 60,000 women.
Every day, I'm processing the images and the stories that I've received. And 60,000 is a small fraction of the millions of Diva Curl users. And you have to wonder how many people are out there suffering from these products. Those people are worth fighting for.
There's a lot of things I want my videos to do. Number one, I want these old products off the shelves. Two, I never want any of this to happen to anyone ever again.
It could be happening with other brands right now.
Stephanie is right. The story of Diva Curl is just one cautionary tale about a single company. But this will unfortunately happen again and again, unless things change.
These manufacturers have to be very clear about what is in their product. Not only every single ingredient listed in plain terms, but also the concentration of each of these products.
That's why we need tougher laws on the books, and that's only going to happen when Congress wakes up to the problem and gives the FDA authority it needs to ensure cosmetics are safe for everyone.
So there you have it. And we end this series with the same calls to action that Keke Palmer mentions at the end of every one of these four episodes. Go and download these three apps, Detox Me, Skin Deep, and Clear Ya. C-L-E-A-R-Y-A, Clear Ya. And these apps let you know what stuff is safe, what stuff is not, what's going to kill you, what's going to destroy your brain cells, what's going to change your hormones, and what's not going to kill you. Demand that your congressperson, this is action number two, demand that your congressperson votes for the Safer Beauty Bill package. And it looks like it's H.R. 5540. And it requires ingredient transparency and will ban 12 of the most toxic chemicals in beauty products. Sign a petition for, this is the third call to action, sign the petition for the Crown Act, which outlaws discrimination against natural hair texture. That's it, the Crown Act. And I think that already passed, the Crown Act. I'm pretty sure. But that's the one I was talking about. But this act protects discrimination based on hair at the workplace, at school. Those are calls to action that you can specifically take, especially if you have been affected by any of the anything in this four-part series, any of the, you know, makeup, the nails, the skin, or the hair. All right. So with that, at the end of this documentary, this part four, there was a update. Aisha and Felicia have joined a mass action lawsuit claiming injuries from their use of Diva Curl products, including injuries they have discussed in this episode. In a written response to questions raised by this series, Diva Curl stated, "Diva Curl products are safe. They are thoroughly tested by industry standard, independent, certified laboratories with no interest in anything but accuracy. We have not seen a single medical record, laboratory test, or a diagnosis from a doctor or a scientific professional to support the claims made in this TV program." And with that, I am done with this four-part docuseries.
And that's it for this episode. Send all your questions and comments to docutalkthrough@gmail.com. That's docutalkthrough@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.